Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation Podcast. Oh, what a treat I have for you today. So Dan is not in the house, and we actually have a special guest. And this is somebody that I recently connected with, and I've heard a lot about her for the last year from a really good friend of mine, but didn't actually get to meet her up until I think about a week ago. And when we got to connect, it was really, really, just really incredible to have the awareness just who she is and her presence and her energy. And it's just this very clear, deep knowledge and wisdom that she carries. And so in today's episode, we're going to be sharing a lot of that with all of you, especially when it comes to a lot of the emotional intelligence, talking about these topics of spiritual bypassing, diving into so much of self-knowledge, intuition, vulnerability, connection, and so many other pieces that I'm sure we'll probably get into that I'm not even thinking of. So without further ado, please welcome Miss Jessica Benstock.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited. This is actually, for me, this is a little bit more of my coming out into the world. I didn't tell you that before we started, but I've been in this transition phase of being in such hardcore study and seclusion. And I've been in these past few months, I've been slowly kind of coming out more into the world and out of like intense training mode and much more into sharing. So thanks for being a part of that and for welcoming me into your audience and into your space. Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, me too. So for those tuning in and those listening, I'm sure they're kind of curious, like, intense training, what is she talking about? Would you be open to just sharing like a brief synopsis of your path, your journey, and what you're doing today in the world, just so those listening can have a better feel of like, oh, okay, this is who she is.
This one is always one of my bigger challenges on podcast interviews, because it's been a 10-year journey, but I'll give you the bullet points. For me, my work, so I do a lot of work. I'm very spiritually oriented, but I'm very spiritually oriented in a very grounded, practical way as well. I can go way out there, but I also feel like if it's not tangible, experiential reality, then I'm not really a big fan of indulging. So yeah, my spiritual path started when I was 18, so 10 years ago, and it was definitely one of those things that I wasn't expecting. My whole life fell apart. Like my whole reputation fell apart. Like it was really, really intense. All my friend groups turned against me. There was lots of slandering going on and I didn't know who I was anymore. And at that time I was handed a book on past life and between life soul regression hypnotherapy. And at that point I was like, I don't know if I believe in this stuff, but it's really fascinating that you can go into the subconscious. And it's really fascinating that you can like change things and heal things that we think are permanent. And so I decided instead of going to art college to go to hypnotherapy school and got trained in all four veins of hypnotherapy. So that was my start. And then I, from there, started really opening up energetically, became much more empathic. No one told me that was going on. So it felt like a crisis internally. Like, why the fuck can I hear people's thoughts? Can I swear?
No, you're good.
It was really intense because all of a sudden I could feel people's feelings and hear things and see like, I could tell what was going on a non-verbal, a non-physical level, but I was very overwhelmed. And so that took a while for me to realize what was going on. And from there, I started teaching and I learned, moved in with my teachers, and then started teaching a kind of work called theta healing, which is a subconscious reprogramming technique that has metaphysical principles and meditation principles to it. And so that's when I first started learning more about energy work. And then from there, I studied for 5 years under shamanic elders, under mostly with Peruvian and Amazonian plant medicines to train at that point, because I thought that I wanted to train to become someone who holds space and serves entheogenic plants in ceremonies. And I also studied under Native American veins of ceremony. And these were all under elders from their own tradition that had been doing this for a very long time. And I was in that world for 5 years with the added benefit and ability to take people who had come into ceremony spaces and gone through these really big openings and then do really deep healing work with them so that they could actually integrate what they were going through and opening up in these ceremonial spaces when they were just in it. So that was teaching me a lot. I started learning about physical healing there as well. And then it got to a point where I realized after 5 years of intensive training, like, this isn't my path. And this was at a point where there was one of the elders who had a Lakota tradition, more in the North American kind of style of being a healing practitioner, that was like, you could actually start doing your own ceremonies now. And it was at that moment that I just got this call where I was like, this isn't me. Like, this isn't this, this maybe had been something I wanted to do, but I've learned what I needed to learn here. I need to connect to what I have without any plants, without any tools, without any rituals. Like, how do I just be in my own essence in and of myself and have my own intuition? And ultimately, that was the same point where I realized, like, I need to make my sensitivity my strength, and I need to make my energetic ability is something that allows me to also be in the world. Because up until that point, I was leaving society to train intensively, coming back into the world, being extremely sensitive to what was going on, but being really good at healing. So I was like, all right, I need to be able to balance both of these things. Mm-hmm. And that's when I found my meditation school, and it found me. I had a week's worth of dreams to go to Maui, went to Maui, met someone who went to my school, and then ended up going and studying and training intensively with energetic vision, trauma healing, which I had already been doing previously, and also how to heal the body and how to heal the energetic reserves from things like burnout on these really, really deep levels, and how to be in a place where I could be in the world and also interface with regular day-to-day life with all my gifts completely intact and without needing anything else. And so business, learning business and having a healing practice, things like that, having a coaching practice, that all was woven into everything I just said. But my background of my passion and my training comes from an extensive amount of deep diving work into all of those veins. And that is just like me trying to shorten it. So yeah.
I love it. I feel like this is the dilemma that so many people that I connect with run into, is they have such deep, intense practice and training, and that to try to reintegrate themselves back into the real world, it almost feels like there's not a training for that.
There really, I think it's pretty rare.
Yeah. So I love that this is a big part of your experience and just going into the depths of just these deep, deep practices and these deep bodies of work. And I think the piece that I really honor most about you specifically is the fact that you have such a variety of training. So a lot of people will heavily focus on one area and just kind of like jump into it. And the culture typically in the coaching industry is like, well, let me just start doing things and figure it out along totally. The way.
Which is, I think that's it's a necessary part of it, but you start to get to the point where you realize like, oh, people's emotional bodies are way more complex than maybe some basic tools have. Like mindset only goes so far, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like this is the piece that a lot of, just a lot of people in general in more of the spiritual community are waking up to, is they're kind of having these awakenings, right? They're becoming very self-aware to the point that it's actually becoming a little bit of a, what's the word I want to use? They're backtracking in a way, because it's kind of like they're so self-aware that now it's almost like becoming a self-sabotage pattern. Does that make sense?
Ooh, that's so fascinating. I'm super curious. Can you unpack that a little more, like how you're seeing that? Because it's really fascinating what you're pointing out there.
Yeah. So it's almost this this sense of superiority is the word that comes to mind, right? Yep. We develop this sense of spiritual superiority or this, just any type of archetype when it comes to this. Yeah.
I love this. I'm having a mini dance. You guys can't see me, but I'm having a mini dance party. Just the fact that this is becoming this is a conversation we can have where I don't feel like an asshole for bringing this up. Like, cause that's something I've struggled with to see. Like, how do you see that? And that's been my deeper question, is going in and out of you as we grow, as we evolve, we gain awareness. And then it's so easy to be like, to wake up on a certain level and be like, oh my God, people are so asleep. Like, how can they not know what I know? And it's so fast that we do that and forget that we were just there. And that just keeps happening. Like, that doesn't ever stop.
Yeah.
And so part of the kind of meta muscle that I see in that for me has been, you know, really asking myself, well, how do I have discernment? How do I have clarity? How do I bring light without closing off my heart and without judging people? Mm-hmm. And power is a very interesting thing, because power is something, which I think what you're talking about is, you get a certain sense of power and it's really easy to get high on it. Mm-hmm. And the ego just loves it. The ego is just going to eat it up. And and it's not that we don't want to feel good for having these kinds of levels of awareness, but we build in spiritual sciences that are like, you know, 5-10,000 years old, where they've studied this for a long time, they call that building castles in the sky. Hmm. Where it's like you get to a certain level and you think, I've reached the godhood.
I've arrived.
Yeah, exactly. And then you instantly, the thing that I had a woman that I lived with in Maui once, and she said, my spiritual awakening today becomes my ego trip tomorrow. And that always stuck with me, you know, because it sounds like part of what you're talking about, where you'll plateau, because that's the very nature of the mind. The mind will come in and the mind will say, we've figured it out, so we don't need to cut off any, like, so now I'm in charge. So now you don't need to like question me anymore, which normally is what got you to that point before. You're like, I realize my mind isn't actually true all the time. Wow, I've reached some kind of awareness. Yeah. And the mind will come back in and be like, you're so aware. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Look how aware you are.
Look at the awareness that you have.
Exactly. So for me, like, being able to call that out, as well as having compassion for that bigger picture of the process, is, mm-hmm, it's an art form. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to, like, my experience of this is that whenever I met anyone, even if they had higher levels of vision and higher levels of awareness, but they had this flavor of elitism, mm-hmm, I instantly wouldn't open to them, mm-hmm, you know? And so being able to hold power and not necessarily identify with it, mm-hmm, like to continuously be humble, like that's a, damn, that is an art form.
The way that I think about this, or the narrative that's seemed to work well so far, and always open to observation, mm-hmm, is working with the idea that we really are just channels, right? Mm-hmm. And to just continue to come back to this idea of wholeness, and recognizing that we really are everything and nothing all at the same time. And it's really what we're creating the space to just allow ourselves to receive and then channel through. But the minute that we lock ourselves into an identity or a narrative or a story, we're blocking ourselves from being able to receive.
So well said. That's like, it's perfect, but I love that because it's true. And I think what adds to this that maybe, I think we might've touched on when we met, there's this very fascinating thing with the psychology that happens behind social media when you start to get into creating awareness around this topic, mm, because and so check this out. In every single vein of psychology work that I've done, so not necessarily in the shamanic work, but in any other vein of trauma healing work, any kind of psychological, more Western, either Western esoteric or just Western modern psychology, they work with something called characters, and or they call them subpersonalities. And it's the theory or the acknowledgement that in different states. So when you're around your mom and your dad, you're going to act differently than when you're around your friends, than when you're around your clients, than when you're on social media, than when you're at the gym. Like we lock into these different personality traits depending on the situations that we're in. And normally those personality traits, not normally, they are informed by, for the most part, our childhood development. And it's not that our subpersonalities or character personas are bad, but they're parts of our personality, which by their very nature means that they are parts of our ego. They're not actually who we are. They're how we've learned to operate in the world. Mm-hmm. And if we're talking about having a spiritual path, moving towards awakening or awareness of the soul, integrating this deeper, higher perspective, what we're channeling, right? Then we need the ego, we need the characters, But first you have to be aware that there's a character that's being played so that it's not playing you. And I think with social media, oftentimes we like, that's what we're doing. We create a character, we create an avatar, we put it out into the world, and it can be so easy to go, this is me. But at the same time, that same, like, this is me that gets you really hyped up when you do a really successful launch or have like a super gorgeous photo shoot or have like really beautiful insight to share that people love, mm-hmm. is the same this is me mechanism that when for whatever reason you're not high on the algorithm or your launch didn't go so good or people aren't really responding, makes you feel like crap, mm-hmm. because you've had that same attachment to the character. Mm-hmm. Without recognizing this is just a chance. Like you said, this is just a place for me to channel things. And the moment I get identified with it, I'm stuck in this kind of push-pull mm-hmm. dynamic.
Yeah, so. This is an interesting one. And I feel like I'm trying to decide where I want to go with this conversation. Mm-hmm. When we get into the conversation of social media, and a lot of people that are tuning in, they have presences, they're online, mm-hmm. They're holding space, they're wanting to market. And this is a whole conversation that I've just kind of been in the midst in my personal life lately, with just the way that I've started to look at marketing and business. And a big piece that comes up is this whole conversation around what feels like synthesized authenticity.
And I love your verbiage.
I received that. Thank you.
I'm writing that down. Synthesized authenticity. Oh, that's so good. Okay, continue.
Yep. And essentially what we're seeing is in the world of business and marketing, where so many people are working towards this process, and essentially they're coming at it from a very well-intended place, right? The intention is, I want to serve, I want to support, I want to contribute, I want to give my gifts, and also I want to be able to have a life in doing this. Mm-hmm. So people start to go down this entrepreneurial path, and they're trying to integrate it with their spiritual world. And as they start to step into it, they're seeking out models, frameworks, people to essentially plug them into, here's how I did it, here's the step by step. And I take full responsibility for my role in this in my earlier years in business and marketing, because again, it was just, here you go, it works.
Totally. And in business, that's great. Mm-hmm. In business, that, like, the parts of us that are like, I got intellect, I understand systems, like I can implement, like, so it works really well in certain frameworks, for sure.
Yeah. I think the piece that I've noticed is it works until we get to a certain level, and then it stops working. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is where the collective is arriving right now, or at least the majority of the collective, is they're starting to wake up, and they're recognizing that the synthesized way of showing up on social, the way that they've been trained, the way that they've been conditioned, the way that they've been taught of create this way, do it this way, do these things in these mechanisms, is actually locking them into, and kind of like using similar terminology, this character that they've been playing that they've now outgrown. And so it's no longer in integrity for them to be showing up this way, but because it's worked in the past, there's attachment to it. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because there's this piece of what almost comes up as a few of these different pieces of superiority of, I've done this already, I've been here before, and now I'm trying to do it again, so let me get into this character and do it exactly the way that I've done. But essentially now we're blocking ourselves from being able to receive a greater level of creation, mm-hmm. A greater level of whatever it is we're expanding into.
Oh, so well said. Yeah. I think I've been reflecting on this recently too, which is like the fact that we're having this conversation and hearing your personal reflection on it, and a couple other people have brought it up to me too, means somewhere to me that there's like a collective buzz going on. Like this is starting to become more aware in the pool that we all are tuning into through social media, which is great. And I think that, so there's a couple things. One of the things I've learned about any kind of self-awareness, whether you want to call that spiritual or interpersonal development or whatever, is that it's always fresh. A friend of mine said the other day, he's like, reality is always fresh. And to me, what that means is that we have to consciously always be steering it. And it's the nature, again, like the Vedic, the Eastern traditions, Chinese as well as India and they've studied the mind. And what we're talking about is partially the nature of the mind. Like, it's going to want to make a photocopy of the same thing mm-hmm. when really you have to actively be conscious in every moment, knowing that what worked yesterday may not work today. What got you here won't get you there. Very much applies. But it can be really confusing because, you know, one of the things that it's actually bringing to light is that to get to a level of vulnerability, authenticity, and the reason we want that for ourselves is to grow. The reason we want it for other people and to be able to share ourselves on social media is so that they feel connection to us. And for me personally, like, I want people to know they're not alone in their human experience. And so I want that level of like connectivity there, which comes from my vulnerable, authentic truth. But that vulnerable, authentic truth at one level may no longer be actually vulnerable and actually authentic. And that's where we run into this whole concept of false vulnerability. Like, it's not vulnerable to share something that was used to be vulnerable for you and now is no longer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what we're realizing is like, yeah. And it's not authentic to share something trying to empathize with a weakness someone feels if you're coming from a place of attempting to be where you used to be in order to share. It's different than being like, I totally empathize with you. I've been there. Mm-hmm. Versus like, oh yeah, I get it, because I don't know exactly how to explain what I'm saying, but I think you can feel it. Like, there's a different way.
In it with you versus I've been there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so here's the thing about our egos, because the ego is, it's great. It's really good at operating the world. Our personalities are great at operating the world, but the places where we have built the most confidence are normally the places that we will go to instantly to hide.
I love this. Yeah.
And it's so autopilot. What'd you say?
Let's go deeper.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking about this a lot because so when you do trauma healing work, what you realize about the psyche is that oftentimes the things that we call our strengths, we've built because no one else showed up for us somewhere. Someone didn't love us. Someone didn't give us attention. Someone didn't validate us. So then we're going to do everything we can to flex to validate ourselves, which is amazing because it builds, it makes us independent. It makes us able to do things for ourselves. But that point that you're talking about is that crux point of going, oh, I actually need to open more. I need to open to what's behind my confident flexing of my strength. And that's scary. It's very counterintuitive to do that.
Yeah, it feels like the language that wants to come through is a softening. Mm-hmm. So it feels like with a lot of trauma, I laugh when you share this because I think of all of the times when you connect and you meet people for the first time and they're like, they ask you your age and then they're like, wow, you're so wise. And how did you get so wise? And I'm like, it was the trauma.
Totally. It was the trauma.
and we laugh about it, but in all seriousness.
It's true.
it's these deep levels of pain that we've experienced that have caused us to wake up. Mm-hmm. And then we arrive at this place where it's kind of like, okay, I'm awake and I'm aware and I've developed this character or this identity of this is who I am. But now it's almost like I'm living in this shell that I've created for myself of who I believe myself to be, that I don't allow myself to move out of it. And the image that comes to mind is thinking of like either a turtle and that's outgrown its shell or a butterfly that's in a cocoon and it's trying to come out. But it's literally trapped in its own darkness and it doesn't see it that way.
Totally. And that's, I think there's something that's really beautiful about the metaphors of nature, because as human beings, like someone told me, I don't remember where this was, it might've been in my school. They're like, you know, human beings can actually choose to stop growing. Everything else in nature grows its entire life. It doesn't plateau, but because we have these complex emotional systems that allow for innovative creativity, allow for all the beautiful things that we create and shape and form, also can really hurt us when we're not actively choosing to transform and actively choosing to grow. And what I find with a lot of my clients and just a lot of people that I connect with is when you stop feeling life, when you stop feeling like things are alive around you, things are bright, things are at some point something got gray, it's because there's a really vital part of you that isn't actually getting the stage that we've just shoved away. And if we have a ton of functionality, I can do this and I can do that. A lot of the time, when I start with a lot of clients, that's normally where they're at. They're very functional. But what I'm listening to is what's behind that. What I'm listening to is the fact that where is their softness? Like, what about you? I don't want to know about what you can do. I want to know about who you are.
Yes.
And most of us have forgotten that because our world and our Western culture is just obsessed with doing and proving and showing and self-image. And we lose ourselves to that.
I love this. I feel like we're getting into a little bit more of like the, just speaking to the masc femme counterparts here.
Mm-hmm, totally.
We live in a very, at least here in the Western world, we live in a very predominantly masculine paradigm and culture, and especially in entrepreneurship and business. So for anyone that's in this space, I mean, that's essentially what's been conditioned. Do more, hustle harder, work more, struggle, mm-hmm. force, hustle. And it's glorified.
Right. Very much so, yeah.
It's worked, yeah. Sort of.
And it works. It works in certain ways, and that's the thing. Is like, it's not that. I think that there's a double thing to this conversation because we're going through this like the rise of the goddess and the rise of the feminine, and somehow somewhere a few years back that also became fuck men and let's hate men and let's hate the patriarchy. Yeah. But you can't live in nature and not have both the supportive, protective, dominating, and the soft, healing, more submissive, nurturing.
Yes.
And so I think we're in this kind of like crux point where we need, like, you need to know how to function in the world. You need to know how to be grounded. You need to know how to have business strategy. You need to know how to execute. But you also need to know how to feel. You need to know how to rejuvenate. You need to know that softening is safe. And for human beings, our trauma responses, oftentimes, especially for high achievers, is I'm just going to do the thing that makes me not feel.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that I start feeling, I'm just going to do more.
Mm-hmm.
Because the signal that I get from softening and opening and feeling is danger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, I think, the entrepreneurial world, like, there is this kind of like, fuck your feelings, just do it. Just get it done with, get it over with. And sometimes you need a flex.
Yeah.
But it's also why people are getting really burnt out.
This is an interesting conversation, and I want to lean deeper into this because I feel like the dynamic that I'm seeing is there's a few words that I want to come through. The first one is integration.
Mm-hmm.
And right now it feels like there's a lot of separation and segregation happening in the industry, and there's a lot of polarization of either swinging from one end of the pendulum to the other. And that's essentially what we're talking about right now, where we've been living in a culture and a paradigm that's been predominantly very masculine. Mm-hmm. And now with this newfound awareness, we're swinging so hard to the other end in this, what's the word I want to use? Just like overly feminine way of being and just grounding into that, we've kind of disowned the other part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like, it's interesting what I'm seeing and what I'm observing right now is there's a collective awareness of people that are on all ends of the spectrum, but the majority that I've been focusing on are the people that are starting to get closer to that center, and they're starting to dance and gravitate and figure out like, what does integration, what does divine union with this masculine, feminine, energetic component of me look like in myself? And how do I experience that within myself? And then how do I then experience that inside the world outside of me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is an interesting conversation because what comes up here, and this is getting a little bit into the pieces of spiritual bypassing, mm-hmm. and emotional intelligence, because we are incredibly intellectual human beings. We really, really are, especially as we become more self-aware and develop whatever spiritual mechanisms or just intellectual mechanisms to navigate the world around us. And then we start to lean into this other realm where you arrive at a certain level of success. You realize that, oh wait, I'm here and I'm still not fulfilled or whatever the narratives are. And then you go into this whole other realm of doing this deep emotional work.
Mm-hmm.
And then it almost feels like, okay, but how do I actually create this this experience where I can have emotional intelligence, where I can experience and feel all of me, do it in a way that actually feels really integrative, and also be able to move forward in the world and not feel trapped by my emotional experiences.
Yeah. I mean, that it's a massive art form. Huge, because it's like, and there's not really a framework. Like, we are consciously, actively right now, that like conscious in the moment steering, like we are having to build a framework for what that looks like. Because our parents definitely didn't have it. And they're, you know, I think the way that our country has been cultivated, or the Western mind has been cultivated, hasn't had it. And I think that a big part of it has to do with that piece that of knowledge of self as you start to move through the deeper levels of feeling that you have, because there are times where you're going to have to be in get shit done mode. But what's interesting about get shit done mode is your will gets so activated towards doing something externally that oftentimes the way we flex, if everyone thinks about that right now, like think about when you're like in that hustle grind mode, like that's a fucking mode. Like, you are in it. There is not much awareness about what's going on in your body. There's not much awareness about what, like, where you, what you're feeling or where you're at. Sometimes you're going to need that. But if you don't have supplementation throughout your day, then part of that get shit done mode is draining your, it is adrenaline. It's adrenaline, it's cortisol, it's draining your energetic reserves, it's creating stress, it's banking on the things that are depleting ultimately your body. And we are kind of in a, once you start to recognize it, once, like, I started recognizing it myself, and then I'm training my clients to do this, we've gone to this very gross level back and forth. Like, okay, so I push, and then I burn out, and then I have to feel, and then I get back on pushing, versus I have ways to supplement what I'm feeling. I have people to help hold that process. I'm valuing that process just as much as I'm valuing my business. Doesn't mean that one overtakes the other. It's just the question of, how do I see the productivity in being more yin? How do I see the productivity in being more receptive? And what you start to find when you when you learn to supplement it, so when you start to become aware in the middle of your day, how are you feeling? What do you need? Do you need rejuvenation? Do you need a nap? Do you need to be more sensual? Do you need to stretch your body? Do you need to go outside and breathe in the air? Not because something that said the 10 best ways not to get burnout told you to do it, but because it feels really good. Like, if you start to do those things, can you actually see that they are productive? And what you'll start to find is they are, because the things that seem polar also completely support each other, but it takes an entire reprogramming of what I call yin productivity, which is that anything that's more feminine or softening or rejuvenative is actually ultimately feeding the yang. And in Chinese medicine, they've known this. They're like, you need yin in your body, like physically, to be able to detox. You need yin in your body to be able to push, to have endurance. And if you don't have yin, then the yang, the parts of your body that do, that push, that heal, that conquer, they don't have juice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's an art form.
Yeah. I love this. The image that comes to mind, and I'll oftentimes use this with clients, is we come from operating in a scale. I'm trying to figure out how to express this verbally for this, because you can't see us. But I think of it as like these big waves. So it's like we're going up this giant roller coaster, right? And we're going up, 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 up. And this is us like hustling, going, 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 pushing really, really hard. And then we reach this tipping point where it's like, We either break down emotionally, or we just break out. Like, we just fall apart in some complex, right? We burn out, or we break down, essentially, is typically what you'll see. And then we go down this massive hill trying to recover, and like going into all the depths of the experiences that we've been essentially bypassing on the way up.
Totally.
And then when we finally recover, we do it again. And it's like a giant roller coaster, and it's emotionally exhausting and depleting. Yet that's how, for so many people, we've been trained to exist in the world, to only address problems when they reach a certain level of hey, now you really need to deal with this and there's no more avoiding it.
Yeah.
And the piece that I find really interesting and a little bit of what we're talking about is this, it's almost like, yes, it's an integration, and more so it feels like the deeper piece is just an unlearning and a relearning of a new way to really work with ourselves and embrace ourselves.
Yeah, totally.
This is that piece that I've really been exploring and playing with of, similar to what you're talking about, how do I allow myself to experience the depth of my emotions in the moment versus putting them off until the end of the launch, right? Mm-hmm. How do I actually allow myself in my day to move through the emotional waves? So instead of it being these 10-foot waves mm-hmm. that are going all the way up and then crashing down, it's like being on a little lake where I'm just riding gently through the process versus these high highs and these low lows.
Totally. Well, yeah. And I think you're totally on point with that. The fact that we are in a complete unlearning of a deeply steeped cultural framework for being and living in life that's always being reinforced the moment that you go outside. Like, it is reinforced the moment that you go on Instagram. It's reinforced the moment that you have to be so vigilant to really repattern, because it's so ingrained in our subconscious that this is the way that you do things. And I think one of the first things is when you become as valuable as your business, like your connection to yourself becomes as valuable to you as any other external thing, you start to awaken a form of intelligence that will show you that you have inside of your body that can show you how to create more of homeostasis, right? The body, the physical body and the energetic body, mental and emotional body, all can create homeostasis once you give them a pathway to do so. The intelligence is already there. It's not somewhere else. But what we need to learn how to allow is how to listen and slow down. And really, it starts with valuing it enough, which when you're burnt out, completely sick, all of a sudden you can't run your business. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm really valuable. My health and well-being is really valuable. But I think one of the bigger things that really emotional intelligence speaks to is that in the middle of doing what you deem as being successful and valuable to you in life, if you're having to sacrifice something that you're feeling and you can track that, then the thing externally that you value is going to be depleted ultimately from not valuing your internal state. And so emotional intelligence is interesting because it is a path, it's a journey, it's not something that happens instantly and you can't intellectualize it. We're very fast to do so. We're very fast to go, oh, well, I think that I'm feeling this. And it's like, well, that's not actually you feeling anything. That's you thinking about what you're feeling versus can you slow down enough to feel what it is? And there may be a time for people where repressed emotions that they've been pushing off for a long time need to come out so that the emotional charges that have been built up can be drained and like let go of. And then you can start to get more that lake feeling. But if you have trauma is literally stored trapped energy. Mm-hmm. And so one of the phases of trauma healing, not the whole thing, which most people think it is, but one of the main phases is de-repression. So one of the main phases is like, if it's grief, if it's anger, if it's rage, if it's sadness, if it's pain, like whatever it is, you're going to have some firework moments of that opening up. But if you're able to hold space for that, knowing it doesn't mean anything about you, it has nothing to do with who you are, doesn't mean that you're broken, doesn't mean that it's going to keep happening, and let it kind of roll and do its thing, then eventually those roller coaster spikes aren't going to happen as much. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning phases, if you haven't been feeling things for a while, the truth is that it's going to come out, and either you're going to create a space for it to come out, or your body is going to school you in letting you know, I can only take this much, and past this point, I'm not going to let you not listen to me.
Yeah, I can think of a few clients who are moving through this process right now, where they've just been so deeply conditioned to repress mm-hmm. and suppress and just push things down and do. And it's interesting because we definitely do live in a culture that doesn't really, what's the word I want to use? Softness and emotionality in expression isn't really something that we applaud in the modern world. It's kind of like, you shouldn't be feeling, you shouldn't be crying. Like, this isn't the space.
We're so awkward about it. Oh my God, you have an emotion? Get that away from me. I might catch it myself.
it's so interesting because so much of the time, what we've been rewarded in culture and in society is to suppress it and not feel and be quote unquote strong. Yet ironically, our strength in my belief system is in our ability to feel. Our real strength is in our softness. And I love what you're speaking to here, where it's this piece, because it's funny. I will talk to a lot of people who have had pretty normal lives and they're like, I don't have trauma.
Flash news, if you're a human being, you've experienced some kind of trauma.
Yeah. It's in there. And totally. It doesn't have to be these like deep, dark, terrible moments. It can be something as little as just being 6 years old on the playground and not being picked to be on the team.
Totally.
It can create massive trauma in the body. And then we hold on to that for years and years and years, and we compound it because we condition ourselves to make it wrong to feel sad. So now we're angry instead of feeling sad. And now we can't seem to figure out why we're angry. So now we're ashamed about our anger.
Yep, totally. It's crazy what builds on top of itself and like how it fractals out. And I think we don't understand. The thing is, culturally, we have no understanding of child. We think we have an understanding of it, but childhood development on an energetic level, you're so open. I mean, that's why when kids, like the things they say when they're in that like sweet spot where they've just learned to talk that are so miraculous, it's because they literally energetically are not closed. Mm-hmm. So they can see the times that we have these, you know, we take some kind of psychedelic or we have a ceremony or we have some kind of peak, like universal moment in Bali or Maui or somewhere really beautiful, like, and we get into a state, kids are in that state all the time. They don't have closings yet. And so when something hits a child, it hits hard. It's like being fully open and in love and your lover just like saying the meanest thing to you in the world. Like it, that's how painful it is. And so we're so linear minded that we don't really like account for how deeply we can be impacted and hurt. And it's part of what makes us more docile in our evolution as human beings, but also when you open up that level of sensitivity again, you get access to phenomenal universal awareness. And so without that sensitivity, we're going to be stuck in the thing that we see in the world right now, which is also perpetuated by, you know, don't be sensitive, but here, take this pill. The pharmaceutical industry is, I think it's the biggest industry moneymaker in the world right now. So there's a lot of people that bank on us continuously being out of intimacy with ourselves and out of intimacy with emotion and out of intimacy with each other.
It's interesting because I love bringing these conversations and these topics into light when we look at it from the perspective of business and success and entrepreneurship.
Really?
And I think from one of the trainings that I had done a while back when we got into trauma and just understanding, I can't remember the exact words, but essentially you have like a capacity or a window for emotional expression depending on whatever you've experienced in your life. And so depending on how much you suppress all of your deeper emotions, you're only really allowing yourself to experience your heightened emotions like happiness, joy, love, excitement to a certain capacity.
And totally.
Yeah. So we're locked inside of this window. And what's interesting when we start to get into a little bit of the energetics, a little bit more of the spiritual world, and we start to talk about business and magnetism, especially in marketing, this is why this work is so valuable for those tuning and listening right now. Just really listen to this part. When you're stuck inside of that emotional window, right, you've set kind of a cap for yourself. You're this character who shows up this way. You always maintain your posture. You never go into the depth. You're always showing up in like this perfect, happy version of yourself or whatever that is. You're not allowing yourself to actually explore beyond that point. And so you've essentially trapped yourself into this energetic body or this way of being that's limited because you're not able to receive anything above that. Does that make sense?
I think totally. Yeah. I think something in that too is that like we can feel, so I think we highly underestimate our intuition. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, oh, I want connection with my intuition. How do I be more intuitive? It's like your intuition's there. It's not a thing outside yourself you have to go get. Yeah. It's that is what your subconscious mind is. That is, and your soul is connected to the parts of you that aren't just at the forefront of your consciousness all the time. And so I think that we, to what you just said, like I think we actually track whether we feel authentic in our expression, whether or not we're consciously aware of it or not. I feel like part of that ability to attract, ability to be magnetic, ability to have other people come and connect with us also has to do with if we feel somewhere out of integrity with ourselves, we're going to somewhere energetically be putting that out into the world. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Doesn't mean something's bad about you. If you start to see this, which because any high achiever is going to hear me say that and be like, oh no, I have like 100 million more things to fix about myself. And like, that is not the mode you want to go into. The mode you want to go into is actually just really deeply questioning, like, what is it that I'm feeling? How do I actually feel right now? Do I not having to do with the external world, but are you getting joy out of what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you have the kind of intimacy that you want in your life? Do you feel really fulfilled internally? And maybe there's parts of you that want to like go play music or go dance or go enjoy life in ways that don't have to do with your business, that if you just went and did those things, that window would be allowed to open up more because you're being vulnerable in ways that you haven't been, you're expressing in ways that you're not used to, mm-hmm. you're increasing your capacity to feel. But also if you're suppressing, if you actually are in a relationship that you really are not fulfilled by, or you're not experiencing joy, or you're depressed all the time, or you're anxious and you're not addressing that directly. You're not addressing, like, maybe you have unprocessed grief because a loved one died, or if you're just pushing that away, then you're right. Like that window it's not going to open mm-hmm. anymore until you start to see what you're actually feeling. And it's so, that's where I think the spiritual bypassing thing comes into play, and the authenticity and vulnerability, all of this, like if you're filled with fucking rage, I would much rather meet you in that rage and feel you in that rage so that I can feel you on the other side of it than have you come and act like you're just calm and everything's okay. And you just need to, because I can feel as someone that's cultivated vision with this, like it doesn't matter what you say to me. It doesn't matter what character you're playing. If you feel rage or you feel sadness or you feel grief or you feel afraid or whatever, I can feel that behind your words. But the only reason I can feel that behind your words is because I've learned to see my own. Mm-hmm. I've learned to see where I'm playing my own character. And also because that's what is. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual bypassing stuff comes in a lot because we try to decorate what is in order to be spiritual instead of actually feeling what is and being with it. And the human experience is raw. Like it's messy. It's not pretty. It's not shiny. You don't have to show everyone when you're super messy and not pretty and shiny on Instagram, but you have to be able to go there first to be able to bring your authenticity, to be able to feel your soul, to feel fucking rejuvenated from life. Or else you're just going to live the American dream and be disconnected from who you actually are and why you may have wanted to be alive as a human, if we have a choice in that. I don't know if we do, but yeah.
There's so many pieces that are coming through right now, and I'm feeling into like where it feels most potent. I think the biggest piece, just to kind of tie this all together and just being conscious of time as well, this has been a good one, has just really been tuning into the conversation for so many of us in embracing these softer parts of ourselves, mm-hmm. and creating a space for ourselves, whether it's in our homes, with a loved one, with a mentor, with a healer, whomever it is, where we feel safe to go into expression with these denser emotions, mm-hmm. and release that. And I feel like for me, that's been the magic work that I've been doing to really just open up that window. Because what I would notice, and I feel like this is what a lot of us start to experience, is we get so addicted to our highs that we have so much resistance to go into the lows. We're like, I don't want to let this go. I just feel great right now. I don't want to go into my sadness.
Totally.
And
that's not
fair. And I feel like the magic for so many of us is recognizing that the more that we allow ourselves to drop into that without getting stuck in it. And I think this is the piece of discernment that comes up, is where we start to actually expand that. And so it's always interesting because I feel like the question that I always get here, and I'd love to hear your perspective on this, is, okay, how do I actually go into what I'm feeling and experiencing, releasing it without becoming addicted to being in the emotion?
It's a pretty multifaceted question. I think we could just do a whole podcast just on that question. It's a great one to have, because it's one that, I mean, obviously, me hearing you say that, it speaks to your experience of diving into your own process. You can't ask a question, and that's what I love about questions. You can't ask a question like that if you haven't experienced both ends of the spectrum. And one of the really profound things, I think, in this is, so that there's a, I think it's a Bible verse, but it's something like, when two or more are gathered, and there's something with the really, really deep stuff where you need a witness. You need someone else to hold space for you. Healing comes from being together. And that's a huge part of what's going to help to heal this very individualistic culture, is we can isolate through not sharing with each other. So what you mentioned about having a safe space, and it doesn't mean always needing your partner, always needing someone else, but for the big stuff at the beginning, having a safe space with a practitioner, with your partner, especially with your partner, if it's something really heavy you're processing, I would also make sure that you have someone else, so you're not just leaning on your partner, because that can create relationship chaos too. But you have a safe space to let go. You have a safe space to be vulnerable. And when you approach any kind of deep pain, there's an art form of being able to go into it, knowing that you fully surrender and let go so it can move through you, but not identifying with it. And I think that there's a muscle of maturation with that, because it takes literally being in the moment of it over and over again to learn how to do that. But anytime that you're going to do deep healing work, anytime you're going to dive into the catacombs of what you've cut off, the most important thing to know is that your story and what you've gone through and the details of it don't matter. I mean, that sounds... That sounds like inauthentic. I don't mean that it doesn't matter what happened to you. I mean that what's not relevant about going back, it's not relevant. What's relevant is what you felt and what you moved through your body. Mm-hmm. And remembering that ultimately there is a collective healing process that's going on. And so it doesn't matter what the details are of any, like, if you go into past life work and you do that kind of stuff, or if you go into this life, like, getting caught up on the story is just going to keep you stuck in the story. Mm-hmm. What's important is, what are you learning through the process of healing? Mm-hmm. And how can you see the part of you that's strong enough to move through that as who you are, and not identify with the details of what's coming up? And sometimes you need someone else to help get you out of it. Sometimes you've de-repressed a bunch, and then you need someone to go, okay, what's next? You know?
Yeah.
Because it can be very alluring to be in certain kind of realms of suffering. But I think that, you know, ultimately it's like the integration word, which you've used a lot. Do you have tools to integrate? Do you have tools to experience your joy, go into like being in nature, being in the beauty of life, being in the simplicity? Do you have tools to be able to let yourself be soft and hold yourself and let yourself be nurtured and held with something that maybe a child would want without judgment at all? And can you go into all of that with a deeper sense of why you're doing it? Because if you're going to try to find your identity through doing any kind of trauma healing work, you're just going to create more suffering. There's no help with that. And I think people, they try to do that. You know, their egos are like, oh, but I suffered. This is who I am, but in my past life.
Let me find my purpose in my pain. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this is so beautifully put. And I feel like the piece that's really sticking through to just kind of hit home with it is this piece of experiencing and expressing without attaching.
Yep.
And it feels like it's kind of, you know, coming full circle here instead of this conversation of, can we experience and express whatever is wanting to move through us without needing to attach to it and lock it back into our bodies and put ourselves inside of these boxes of who we believe ourselves to be?
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, you got to know that when you go through one level of de-repression, or when you go through one level of expression, it might be really, that might be the truth in that level. But, you know, in a couple months from now, you might try to go back to that kind of expression because you got a certain kind of attention from it, and it's not actually what's going to feed you. So you have to be awake. You have to be aware to where you're at in your evolution, and you have to be honest with yourself. And I think those questions of like, what do I really want from this? What am I getting from this? What do I need from this? Are really important on throughout the whole path. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're getting stuck processing something over and over and over again, it either means you haven't got to the core of it, or you're not allowing yourself to see, like to look up and to see where you've gotten to. So
discernment. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically what this whole conversation is coming
exactly from. Exactly. Which, and all of that, it just comes from, it comes from self-knowledge and asking, like, if you want to be honest with your discernment, comes from self-honesty.
Yeah.
If you're going to see what other people are doing and discern like what the right thing to do is in a situation, first you need to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where your intuition comes from. That's where like all the goods come from. That
I love it. There's so much depth and so many layers to all of this, and obviously we've gone on quite a few different
totally
angles already. but for people who are curious, because you share so much value on your social, and I've been kind of watching and peeping in, how can they find you and connect with you, just to really just learn more, explore more, just get inside of your world?
Totally. Yeah. Instagram is definitely the best. It's my main platform. You can also add me on Facebook. Both of them are just searching for Jessica Benstock. On Instagram, it's jessica.benstock. And then I actually, this month, I have some openings to do. It was funny because you just made a post about this and I did it without even reading your post, but I'm doing one-off sessions for the first time in a really long time this month, where people can come and do a two-hour session with me if they want. I'm also doing a masterclass on this kind of stuff that's going to be really intimate. So high touch, 3 hours, only 10 women can come in. And so if you're interested in any of that, there's info about it in my bio on Instagram. And yeah, feel free to like, if anyone has any questions or things that pinged for them or confusion or whatever, feel free to send me DMs. I'm very friendly in my DMs.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for just taking the time to drop in and just playing with me in all of these fields.
I've had so much fun. I'm looking at the clock like, damn, that was long.
There's so many layers that I want to drop in on here, and I'm just like, man, we might have to do a follow-up. So we'll,
I would love that. Yeah, this is where I feel, it's funny, I feel like I joke around that I was born in the deep end. Surface I'm not that good at, but I can just do this all day long and I get a lot of joy from it. So thanks so much for having me on here.
You're so welcome, love. So for all of you tuning in, if you enjoyed this, feel free to share it on the gram. If there's someone you know that needs to hear it, go ahead and send it out to them. Otherwise, any questions, comments, feel free to either comment and or just shoot us a personal message. We're here for you. Sending you all so much love, and we will see you on the next episode.